how I'm going to look at it. I'm just going to read the first six verses and then go on and so on and so forth. Again, Deuteronomy 15, verses 1 through 18, the year of release. This is what it's entitled. This is the subject matter, or the Lord's release. Let's look at verse 1 of Deuteronomy 15. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught, lends to his neighbor, shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. So you loan, somebody comes to you, borrows money. He's your brother, he's your neighbor, you lend him money, and after 7 years, whatever he owes, you let him go. You release him. This is the Lord's release. This is not made up by man. This is the Lord's, one of the Lord's commands. And there were several different, you know, the year of Jubilee, there's different things, different sacrifices, but this is one that we're looking at. Of a foreigner, thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release, save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. They haven't possessed it yet. This is all pre-Canaan, going into Canaan. Only, if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments, which I command thee this day, for the Lord thy God blesses thee, and he as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. This is we'll look at this first part. In all three of these subheadings, verses 1 through 6, 7 through 11, and 12 through 18, all these three subheadings, we see Christ, and we also see the church's conduct, that we are, the attitude that we are to have one towards another. So this first section, this is the manner of the release. This is the Lord's release. You've got somebody who's in debt, somebody who loaned the money, can't pay it back, or at the end of 7 years, you let them go. You don't hold them under bondage. You don't try to whips and biscuits. You don't do that. You let them go. Now, obviously, we are in debt. We're the debtors. We've got nothing to pay. The fall in the garden assures us we fell in Adam. And in Adam, Scripture says, all die. There's no way out. There's no way out. As far as paying back God, we're in debt. We're born in debt. We're born in trespasses and sins. There's no way out by self, not self-will, not self-intellect, not self-wisdom. Christ does more than loan us. He gives us freedom. This is the Lord's release. This wasn't invented by man. Salvation wasn't invented by man. We can't earn it. We can't merit it. We're the debtor. We're the debtor. We are his brother. We didn't know that. That would be another tie in here. Christ does more than loan to us. He gives us his righteousness, his holiness, his salvation, and sets us free. We are released from sin, the law, and bondage. It's the Lord's release. As I said, not man's. As we sing that hymn, hallelujah, what a Savior. Because he set us free. He set us free. Now, Christ is the preeminent one in all three of these examples. But that first example, we're in debt. We're born in debt. No way out. And then grace comes through the preaching of the gospel. He crosses our path with the word, the truth, the gospel preacher. Somebody who knows the truth, they speak the truth. Released. Released. How does this apply to the church? Well, to our brothers and sisters, we ought to do what we do for love's sake, Christ's sake, and for unity's sake. You know, there was, I can't remember, maybe, I think it was Corinthians, is their problem church. They were taking one another to court. And it's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Solve this on your own. And that's what we ought to do. If we're spoken of directly in here, if we have money, we have a surplus, somebody needs and you borrow it, then it's okay. Let us not be so exacting on matters that Christ has set us at liberty. You know, we don't bring one another under bondage. That's what love does. The second topic is found in verse 7 through 11. Let's look at that. If there be among you a poor man, one of thy brethren, within any of thy gates of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But look at this. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wants. Beware that there be not a thought of my wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye may be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught. See, you know what they're doing is they're like, okay, the seventh year is like a couple months away. So I don't want to give him in that money. I'm not going to get anything repaid. We are to give and not expect anything in return. But we ought to take advantage of somebody for that. But this is the guy that's going to lend. For this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and all that thou puttest thine hand into. He's going to bless because you've been blessed. You're going to bless the brother. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee this, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and thy needy in thy land. Again, this is pictures Christ. Did not our sweet and tender sovereign do just this for us? He opened his, I just was reading somewhere, I think it's Psalms 115. The Lord is mindful of us. The Lord loads us daily with benefits. He has opened wide his hand. Not only his hand, but his heart and his actions. The law was against us. Sin was hard against us. God was against us. We were against God. But oh, the love of God and the person and worth of Christ are Jehovah Tsidkenu. That is, the Lord shall provide. He provided his son, and his son came and did hold nothing back. Not only did he fulfill the law, everything in jot and tittles against us, but he gave us his righteousness. Took away the negative, gave us the positive. He opened his hand wide. All things necessary for us to be called the children of the Most High. His heart is for us. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. He gave himself for us. Now I looked at what getting too many devotionals, what Philpott said. He gave himself for us. No, I'm sorry, Tim James. Tim James, quite a bit of difference in years. Tim James said this, that I've never thought about this. He said he gave himself everything. He didn't hold anything back. He gave us his shame. He took upon himself our shame. He gave us his credibility, his honor, his blessings, his righteousness, his peace, everything about Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his characters, attributes, his perfections. He gave himself. And Tim said that, you know, he listed a bunch of things really good for us. He opened his hand wide. No wider could anyone open. And in verse 9 it says, beware that thou be not thought, have a thought of the wicked heart. Not even, there's no way that this could describe our Lord. Ever thought anything wicked. as in him is light and no darkness at all, we are released. Bless God. He opened up his hand wide. Not for everybody, for a brother. This is specific. It's specific. For his brethren, would be brothers and sisters in Christ, that his father foreknew, his son came to redeem them, reclaim them, opened up his hand. From thy poor brother. Well, we're poor, but we don't think we are. But we are. We're poor. Secondly, how does this apply to the church? Surely we should open our hand wide in charity towards our neighbor, our brethren. You know, Ephesians 4, verse 32. 2 Corinthians 8 says there must first be a willing mind. That's why we have the plate sitting back there. We don't pass it. I don't have any problem with anybody who passes the plate. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you want to put something in there, you do it. Nobody's going to say anything if you don't. We open our hands wide. And sometimes that means being observant because maybe the brother is not going to say anything. It's a humiliating thing to admit that you're poor or weak or don't have wisdom. But by the grace of God, that's why it's a fellowship. Everybody has differing gifts. You listen. You say, you know, I think I heard somebody struggling. We ought to open our hands wide. Give not grudgingly, but out of the abundance or even little, like the widow, her mite, that's all she had. It's Christ that she gave more than, because she gave everything she had. But be willing, and so glorify God the Father which is in heaven. Now, the last section in verse 12 through 18 is actually two sections. One stands alone, verse 15. Remember what we are. Remember where we came from. Verse 15. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. And the Lord thy God redeemed thee. That's purchased, bought back. Therefore I commanded this thing. It's as though Paul, you know, it's like Paul is saying to Philemon about this servant Onesimus, his slave Onesimus. He says, I'm not going to say you do this, but you owe your own soul, you owe your own life to me. So it's a little persuasion, but the gospel is a persuasive tool that God uses to convince men of their sin. But we do what we do, for one part, is we know what we've been redeemed from. We know what we were. We know we are no better anyway. We're actually the worst of the lot. We're the worst of the lot. And we could look at James chapter 2 and see this. Matthew chapter 6 and Proverbs 14, just a few passages. James 2 verse 13, Matthew 6 verse 15, and Proverbs 14 verse 21 talks about, you know, remember, we are nothing. That's why we can't boast. Well, the second section is after verse 15, verse 16, and it shall be if this servant that you've loaned to and he's under your care, say unto thee, I will not go away from thee. This is an indentured servant. Because he loves thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. He's better off with you than he is without you. And that's a portion. Somebody treats you better than when you were out on your own, so you stay with them. Then, this is what the owner shall do. Shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear, servant's ear, under the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away. If you have to do, send him away free from thee. For he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thou shalt do. Now, if this would have been practiced back in the 1800s, we probably wouldn't be in the trouble we are today. But, you know, man's greedy and man's an idiot like what we are. But how does this picture Christ? Christ voluntarily became a servant and willingly put himself under the Father. I love these people. I love you. I'm going to volunteer my services, though I am God incarnate in the flesh. I'm going to do the same thing. If he won't go away because he loveth thee. Now there's love. Christ loved his people and gave himself and suffered and bled and sacrificed himself voluntarily. That's the beauty of this. There's volunteers in this country, but most of the time you want to do something, you want to get paid. Christ voluntarily became a servant so we could be released or go free by paying all our debt. He willingly suffered, bled, and was thrust through with an awe, so to speak, when he hung on the cross. He was thrust through with those nails, those spikes for his brethren. Luke 22 says, he was among us as one that serves. He's like, the servant's not above his master. So that leads me into the last point. The church, we're to be like Christ. As his church, his bride, his feeble followers, do we not freely, lovingly, willingly serve him? And this we do the rest of our life and the life to come. We're like this. You know what? I want to stay under your service. I may not have anything of my own. This servant didn't have anything of his own. What a picture. We don't have anything of our own. Oh, we call ourselves, we know, cars, boats, houses. They're not ours. So when we lose them, I know I'd be upset, but no, it's God's. He loans us our children, our grandchildren, our spouse, and he can take them when he sees fit. But remember, we're talking about a loving Savior, a loving Redeemer. But he knows what's best for us better than we ourselves. But this we do, we'll serve him willingly, and I'll put that right through there, the rest of our lives and the life to come. And we will owe it all to that free and sovereign grace in and through the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Always. All glory goes to him. It must. And we have no problems with that. The problem we have is when we start hanging on to stuff. My house. My garden. My car. You know, and then when it breaks down or something doesn't work, it's just loaned. It's just loaned. We have that attitude. We have that attitude. Like one of the older writers said, hang on to this world with a loose hand. Because if it slips, comes and goes. And these three, it's the Lord's release. That, you know, I got thinking, step back and our children can understand this. The simplest thing is, I'm released. Are you released? Do you understand you're in debt? We're all in debt. Go to him and beg, beseech, release me. Release me in the righteousness of Christ. The Lord's release. Bruce, would you close us?